You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates. Welcome back to the show.
Hi.
Oh my goodness. This is the first time that I feel like we have recorded in forever that we both get on here and we're like, hello.
I know. We're not like crying when we say hi.
God, growth. Growth and healing, people.
It feels nice.
Hello.
It feels good. I've had a great day today. I had a great therapy session, and I feel like very revived after that. And I've been like dancing around my apartment, and that's like something that really makes me happy that I've been doing recently. I can't remember if I said this on one of the previous podcasts, but so I have never been someone. Two of my biggest fears used to be I would never sing in front of anybody. Like you couldn't. I used to be an avid churchgoer, and they do a lot of singing there, and I would literally lip sync like I never even sang because I was terrified of people hearing my singing voice and thinking that I sucked. And you definitely would have never caught me dancing because I never learned like the cool dances of our generation. And so I thought, since like I never learned any of those, like I can't dance, but I really enjoy just like free flow dancing and just not giving a shit and putting on something that you vibe to and just like seeing how your body reacts to it, like just doing its thing. And it's really fun. And I will take 5-minute breaks from work and put on a song that I'm feeling and just get up and like dance around with my cat. It's great.
Yay for dancing.
Yay.
Oh, that makes me really happy to hear.
Yeah. My neighbors probably think I'm fucking crazy because I leave the windows open. I don't give a shit. And we can see each other now because all the leaves are dead.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing to hide.
All the leaves are brown. And the sky is gray. All the leaves are dead. And I can chat with my neighbors now.
I didn't know you were going to keep going with it. I thought you were just saying, like, all the leaves are brown. I was like, okay, bitch, fucking get it.
So, yeah, it's been a good day. Although, work, like, I have to say, like, while I'm, like, trying to, like, improve my mental health and everything, work is really burning me out because, like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't fulfill me whatsoever. And that's like mostly what I talked about with my therapist today. It was like, I need to really like figure out what's just going to like fulfill me in life career-wise, because I'm tired of doing shit that I don't like and that doesn't fulfill me and just isn't doing anything for me. And what's crazy is like, I mean, like on paper, like I look like I have a decent career. I mean, it's not bad or anything. And I've excelled and climbed the ladder over the past couple years. And I'm grateful for it. So I'm not ungrateful. And I thank the universe for the job that I have. And that doesn't like stress me out as much as jobs that I've had in the past, and that I make like good money. But I'm at a point where like I need to, my soul needs to be happy.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to work on that.
Well, the new year is coming, and maybe something unexpected will show up in 2021.
Right. Oh, I did. I told you, I did a reading for my next year and, or for 2021, just like an overview with the months. And I found this tarot spread on Pinterest, and it essentially, it kind of looks like a clock in this, in the center. Oh my God, I have the hiccups. in the center is the card that is kind of like the overall theme of the year. And then like the clock, it like starts in each card is a month, except it went counterclockwise. And I started with January, went through February. And it looks like it's going to be a pretty decent year. It's going to be like lots of new opportunities and lots of just like finding my peace and finding things that make me happy. But also like confronting my demons, you know, like just confronting like past traumas that I've lived through and like getting over that. Which makes sense. I would expect that.
I muted myself for a second because Steven is like singing on FaceTime to his baby cousin and he's so fucking loud. So fucking loud. And he does this every week. It's every week. It's a different.
He sings to his cousin every week.
Oh no, he's just loud as shit every week.
Like how sweet.
No, she's so freaking cute. Her name is Hattie. She's named after Harriet Tubman.
Oh, she's the cutest, I love that
baby. And she always gets excited whenever his uncle FaceTimes him. Mm-hmm. Will do the thing on FaceTime where like the emoji, like you can make your face the emoji, and he'll turn into a robot just for her, and he'll start singing to her, and she gets so crazy. She's so excited.
That is so sweet.
But he always, I'll be like, okay, I'm gonna go record, keep it down, and he'll remember for like 10 minutes, and then it's just
out the window when it comes to Patty.
it's so fucking loud, but fucking God, when we move, I don't, you know, wherever we end up moving, I'm really hoping wherever we move that the walls are thicker, because this old ass house, like I can hear what's happening in the kitchen and I'm on the other side of the house. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty irritating.
But yeah,
fucking ways. I normally only do a tarot card reading for the year, like on my birthday. Mm-hmm. But now I kind of feel like after this year, like I feel like I also need to do like a full 12 months.
Just wanted a preview. Like I kind of want to know a little bit of what's coming. You know?
Yes. And I did ask.
Oh.
What? What?
So guess this is not going to be any surprise. Guess what month is supposed to be the worst month for me next year?
October?
July. It's always our birth month.
Oh God. What did it say?
That one, let's see, I have a picture of, I took a picture of it, and I pulled for the month of July, I pulled the Nine of Swords, which is, anxiety, worry, and distress.
Oh God.
A living nightmare. Your worst fears are coming true. You've managed to manifest your worries by constantly thinking about worst case scenarios, creating anxiety and stress. Making a mountain of the molehill perpetuates your despair and fuels your melancholy. Fear and doubt are paralyzing you from moving forward with endless what ifs scenarios playing over and over in your head. You're frozen with crippling fear and doubt that you've created, and beating yourself up is only making it worse. Transform yourself out of darkness and leap out of the shadows. Become your own cheerleader and acknowledge yourself for all the good that you've been doing. Celebrate your wins and breathe in all blessings. Ease your anxiety and remember all is not lost.
Okay.
And the month before that, I got Two of Swords, which is like I have to make a decision. So there's going to be like a decision in June, according to this. I'm going to have to make some kind of decision in June. And it shows a lot of indecision. Like, I don't know what I want to do with that. And then July is anxiety and worrying about what ifs. So I probably am worried about this decision.
Oh, I wonder if it's like job related.
Maybe.
It could be.
I mean, that's really going to be my biggest focus of next year. It's like just going to, I want to make a decision about what to do with my freaking life. Like,
yeah.
And I'll be wrapping up. Well, I'll finish school at the end. I'll finish and get my bachelor's degree at the end of next year. So, but like, yeah, I'm trying to figure out just what the heck is going to make me happy and what direction to go in with my career, because I'm so burnt out being an administrator, because that's just not what my soul wants to be. And so July, so that's like the darkest month of all of them. The rest of them have like pretty good outlooks. But then like after that decision, like things start getting better. Although in August I drew the reversed Four of Cups, which is like stubborn, and lost opportunities. So I'm like, oh my God, did I pick the wrong one? Like, and then in August I fucking lost the opportunity. And then September, I pulled the reverse Ten of Wands, which is heaviness and resentment. And then in October, so the first half of the month actually looks really great. Like there's tons of opportunities. I'm going to be like thriving and like saving money and all this good stuff. And then like June hits, there's some kind of decision. And after that, things start like going downhill. And then October, I pulled reversed Knight of Swords, which is impatience, impulsiveness, and recklessness. But then November is when it picks up again, and I pulled the Chariot, which is like victory and willpower and inner drive. So like I overcome something. And then December is realizing, childhood trauma and pulling off rose colored glasses. No, well, that's
been the theme. That is the theme for you, dude.
This was a crazy ass reading.
Oh my God, dude. Okay. That just gave me chills. I haven't got chills like that over a reading since we did the past life readings earlier this
year.
God, like, that was earlier this year. Is like, that was earlier this year. That was this fucking year.
Shit. I would love to do another one of those. That was so much fun.
It was.
And hell, if I've been here 68 times, then I got more to do, right?
Yeah. Right? God, that's.
But yeah, that was my reading. And it's like the beginning of the year. I mean, it just all makes sense. Like just, it just makes sense. So my overall theme of 2021, I pulled the Fool. So free spirit, purity, new beginnings. Okay. And then January, I pulled King of Swords, which is like clarity, mental strength. February, the King of Pentacles, which is like attainment, prosperity, and abundance. For March, I pulled the World, which is achievement and unity. And
God, completion. You got a lot of like major arcana cards.
Yeah, for the beginning of the year. And then literally after July, it's all reversed cards.
Swords
until November. But then April is Seven of Pentacles, which is like patience, investment, sustainability. May, I got Princess of Swords, which is being inquisitive, verbose, and lively, and like I have a twinkle in my eye, like things are going good. And then comes June, when like shit starts like going weird, and I don't really know what it is, but I have a feeling it has to be career related, because that's kind of like what I'm going for next year.
Oh my God. Well, yeah, okay, so now I've got to do one now, because our fucking lives always seem to link up in some way,
shape, or
with some type of traumatic event, the theme of our friendship. So now I'm like, God, is July gonna be shit for me too? Fucking
oh God. Yeah. I would love to see what your reading for next year is.
Yeah, I think we're supposed to leave tonight to drive up to Maryland.
Oh, nice.
So,
late night drive.
Yeah, I don't know why we do that. We always like just, it's like 3 hours. We do that all the time. We've always done that. Like even when I was in college, we'd go down to Chesapeake to his parents and it was like a 4 hour drive from Harrisonburg and we'd still do it. I don't know why, but I think we might leave tonight, but maybe I'll take my cards with me. And when everybody is having their slump nap for Thanksgiving dinner tomorrow, I will try that. Oh, speaking of which, so while we're on the topic of Thanksgiving dinner for COVID, I did just want to put a little PSA out there. I am not one of these people who is having Thanksgiving dinner with a family of fucking 50. It is literally Steven's mom, me and him, and his younger brother. Nobody else. Literally nobody else. And him, his mom and his brother live together, and we all four of us have done our due diligence. So for anybody who's like freaking out about it.
I'm very glad that I didn't have to convince, because I'm having a really, really, really small Thanksgiving this year too. And I'm actually kind of excited because growing up, I mean, my parents were divorced. So like, yeah, I did have two Thanksgivings. It's not as glamorous as it seems, but like, it was just like me, my mom and my brother, or me, my dad and my brother. So it was always super small, just the immediate family. But then when I moved out here, I have my brother who moved out here as well. And my grandpa, my mom's dad, they don't cook. And they don't want to cook. They have no interest in cooking. And we have other family members out here that I'm not like that close with. Like, they're fine. I like them, but I really only see them on Thanksgiving. Like, they're like that kind of family. But they're like the big party throwers. They have a huge house and they could have anywhere from like 30 to 50 people over for Thanksgiving. And it's like the neighbors, like tons of people. I don't know. And they're amazing cooks. Like, they're the world's best host. Like, I mean, they do an outstanding job at throwing Thanksgivings. And, like, people pitch in and bring stuff. But I also, like, just me being who I am, I prefer intimate holidays with people that I know and love. And, like, when I go over there, it's great because like I do know some people, but I kind of don't know sometimes the majority of the people. And I like to take slump naps too. And I don't feel comfortable falling asleep on the couch at this person's house when there's tons of people around watching me sleep. Like, I look like a fucking idiot when I sleep with my mouth open.
I've seen you.
Yeah. Like, I do not look picture ready when I'm sleeping. And like, they put on football and I don't give a shit about football. And like, I want to watch Thanksgiving Charlie Brown. Okay. Like, I don't want to watch football and I don't want to sound ungrateful. I am so grateful for them, but like, I am also grateful to have Thanksgivings that remind me of the Thanksgivings that I had growing up that I really like. And I was kind of worried that my grandpa was going to be like, maybe we should still go over. I honestly don't even know if they're throwing, I'm sure they're not throwing a huge party, but they're definitely still having a Thanksgiving dinner with family. And so they would probably let us come if we asked, but I was worried because I know he doesn't like to cook and that he also likes going over because he doesn't have to cook. But something else we're doing this year, no shame, this is kind of nostalgic for me too. We are getting our entire Thanksgiving dinner from Cracker Barrel this year.
Oh, well, oh my God, that's where we fucking met. Get out.
I know. So, when I, growing up, when I had my Thanksgivings, my two Thanksgivings at both my parents' house, every other year with my mom, we would every other year do the Cracker Barrel Thanksgiving. And it was just something that was just like fun and like the food's good. And like, we don't care. Like, sure, have somebody else cook. And like, we still have leftovers and all that stuff. The chocolate pecan pie is like my favorite thing at Cracker Barrel. And Jonathan and I, tomorrow, Thanksgiving, for whenever people are listening to this, when we're recording, it's tomorrow. Jonathan and I are going to drive 2 hours to the nearest Cracker Barrel to pick up our Thanksgiving dinner because we only have 2 Cracker Barrels in the whole state, and the closest one is 2 hours away. Yeah, that's not a thing on the West Coast. No.
That makes sense.
That's a Southern thing.
Yeah, country bumpkins out here. Of course, we have a Cracker Barrel in every fucking corner.
I know. We could have gotten a job anywhere in Virginia with that. Like, so my brother and I are going to drive up 2 hours. We picked a time frame to pick it up, and they only allow like 10 people to come pick up during the same time frames. Because, I mean, like, you know, that fucking place gets packed normally when there's no COVID, like, especially in the, like, everywhere, but especially in the retail area.
So God, we have like fucking retail area. I hated trying to go to the bathroom during Thanksgiving with all those people milling around buying shit. And it was always Christmas decorated like way too early.
Oh my God. And like, love Dolly Parton, but that one Dolly Parton CD that they would play on repeat the whole time. Do you remember when my mom would come in and sit at the one table that everybody hated, so it was always available, the one right next to the hostess podium? Mm-hmm. And she would break, she would get crayons, all the crayons, and like break them and like throw pieces at me. Yeah. And she would throw crayons at me. And my brother was so embarrassed because like he would come with her. And like, you know, he was super young at the time. And he's like, oh my God, this is a living nightmare. I loved it. Yeah, so I like Cracker Barrel, even though I worked there. I would never fucking work there again, but I would eat there, but I don't get to eat there pretty much ever because the nearest one's 2 hours away. But we're going to do it, pick up Thanksgiving dinner to go.
Well, I honestly, when I was younger, I feel like I would have been like, catered Thanksgiving dinner that takes away. But now that I'm older, I'm like, catered Thanksgiving dinner.
Sign me up. And you know, at first I was like, is this kind of expensive? Because so it's just gonna, you know, be three of us eating, and we got the smallest package, whatever, and it feeds like 4 to 6. And the whole total, we added a whole bunch of stuff too, like desserts and other sides that we wanted. It was like, I think it was like 160, which, you know, for when you're like, oh my God, for three people. But like, when you think about all the money you spend on Thanksgiving dinner, that's, you know, I'm like, you know, that's not too bad. I don't think, yeah, it's pretty good.
Treat yourself. Well, that's awesome. I love that. I feel like if Steven and I were staying here, that probably would have been the move. I didn't even know that was a thing. I totally forgot about it, honestly. Did they do that when we were there?
They definitely did, but Thanksgiving, so the one day at Cracker Barrel that everybody is required to work is Mother's Day. And I remember taking off for Thanksgiving, and they would let people take off for Thanksgiving because they had enough people that would like want to work it and make a lot of money. But they did that when we worked there. I just always took off, so I wasn't ever there to see the hell that it was to work.
God, do you remember when we would work in the winter and people would bitch and complain if they couldn't sit in front of the fireplace? And I'd be like, why do you want to sit in front of the fireplace?
Little ass tables.
Two tiny tables.
But if it wasn't winter, how dare you put me at this table? Because it was kind of like near the aisle, you know, it was like in the front where people would walk past, and it was like by the kitchen. So if it wasn't cold outside, how fucking dare you sit me at this table?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And then we'd walk by it, and you'd have to stand there with the menus, and you'd end up smelling like the fireplace by the time you left.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And that was actually that was something that I did like. I would honestly, out of all of the restaurants that I worked, even though there was at least one incident probably at every restaurant that I worked, except for my very first job at Chick-fil-A that like made me cry, like go home and cry about something. And that did happen at Cracker Barrel once.
Fucking
God. That manager that we had. Yeah.
Gone. I hate it.
And I was doing art. All Cracker Barrels have the chalkboard where you put the daily special. And it was
get her art on.
I was like literally You know, I remember Friday fish fry because that like starts with two F's, but Sunday was some kind of fish. And maybe it was Friday fish fry because I was doing this under the sea theme on the chalkboard and I was drawing this octopus and I had fishes swimming around and a scuba diver and bubbles coming up. Like I was like, that was like one of my favorite things to do there was just to draw on the chalkboard. And he got mad at me because I don't know. It wasn't even something, I can't remember what I did that pissed him off. Literally anything could have pissed him off. But I didn't do something exactly how he wanted it, or I can't even remember. And he comes up, he looks at me, gives me the stink eye, stands in front of my chalkboard and turns around to the chalkboard and takes his hand, his whole hand, and smears my drawing.
Such a dick.
Just, I'm like, wow. And I held myself together, but the second my shift was over, I left and I was crying. I was just like, I didn't understand how someone...
He was a dick. I hated him.
Yeah.
He was so mean. Remember when he came up to me when I was at the podium and he told me that he was like, oh, I definitely saw you the other day. Yeah, standing on the corner smoking. I don't fucking smoke, first of all. I called HR on him. I remember that very clearly.
Yeah.
I was so fucking mad.
Yeah, he was a bad manager. But that was the only place that I actually, like, when I came home, like, I kind of, like, liked how I smelled in the winter because I like smelling like a fireplace.
I like fire, like, or, like, a bonfire smell.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. It would get stuck in my hair, and I'd wake up, and I'd still smell the fire in my hair, if that makes sense. I don't know. Like, the smell just would stick to my hair.
I think that's, like, the people that like the smell of gasoline. Like, I think that's gross. But then there's people who hate the smell of bonfires, like, on your clothes. And I love it. I'm like, it's so cozy. I feel like, you know, I like to keep the night on me.
I know. It is super cozy.
Rip John, though. Didn't you say he died?
He did. Yeah. He got some kind of cancer and he passed away from it.
Well, so, rest in peace,
John. R.I.P. John. But, like, also, he was a dick.
He was a huge fucking dick. So, that might be the most fucked up thing we've ever said on the show.
I mean, we said RIP first.
We did say RIP. I hope that he's up there smearing his paintings to
him. I hope he is listening to this conversation right now. John, RIP, but you weren't nice to us. So, but you know, honestly, like, let's see, out of all the restaurant jobs I ever worked, I mean, I think that one the most because, like, I'm so glad that I met you and you're, like, such a big part of my life ever since. Mm-hmm. And, like, I would literally have worked there for 2 years. Like, I wouldn't change anything because, like, I'm so glad that I met you there. And that was a job that, like, definitely my first job was Chick-fil-A because, like, everybody from my high school was employed at that Chick-fil-A. Actually, one of the listeners who listens to this podcast, who has reached out to me, is someone who I used to work with at Chick-fil-A, small town. Hey, but yeah, Cracker Barrel. That was just a good, I don't know. I think I just like learned good work ethic there. And that was the first job that I really learned like, oh shit, I'm going to have to put up with like shitty bosses. And I'm going to have to like learn how to work with that. And so that was good. Fuck Ruby Tuesdays. I made shit.
Oh my God. I totally forgot about Ruby Tuesdays. So we were just like, we were just having so much fun. Like we would leave Cracker Barrel and you'd be like, okay, follow me. This is the way to my house. I couldn't ever remember how to get to your house. I
know. Yeah, that was such a like almost, I would never call it this then. But, like, now, that was a very ethereal part of my life. Like, I was carefree. I didn't have bills to pay. I was still living at home. I was making good friends. We were having so much fun. Like, yeah, follow me home. I'll see you. Or I followed you to your home. And your room gives me such, like, nostalgic vibes because it's, like, a little cove because you have to, like, go down a step to get into your room. And it was all dark and cozy. And, like, you had all these candles and your room was very different from mine. And like every time I came over, your grandma made me mint tea. And I still think of you and your grandma every time I have mint tea. because like you're the I've never had mint tea before I met you. And I don't know, it was very, yeah, like, I mean, I would go home and like if I had a bad day at work, I went home and cried to my mom and like she would comfort me about it. So it was just this very, like, that was the last job that I had before like shit started hitting the fan in my life. So I do like classify like the Cracker Barrel era of my life as like the last like innocent, young, ethereal, like before like Liz entered the world, like that was that time.
It was such a good fucking time. And like,
yeah,
we'd drive to college together and we'd listen to the neighborhood CD and it was so good.
I was just listening to that CD at like during my last hour of work.
It's so good. It's really like there. I mean, they've got like two albums that I really like, and then everything after that, it just.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Whenever I listen to that
album, I loved every song on that album, and yeah, and I remember all the servers. Like, I remember like I wanted to make more money. But I like honestly didn't like most of the servers and I liked our little hostess group. And I was kind of glad that I got to put my purse somewhere else because all the servers were like stealing from each other in the back. God. And so like we kept our purses like separate because like they were all like robbing each other in the back. Stupid ass bitches. You're all here doing the same shit.
I remember a specific scenario. I think it was somebody. It was like Sarah and some, I mean, not that anybody who, you know, if you worked at Cracker Barrel and you listen to this, congratulations, but like, it was Sarah, like someone stole money from her and she came out cussing. She was so
cool. I would too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And their cars were getting broken into, like just the servers. I don't think any of the hostesses' cars were ever broken into.
No, nobody gave a fuck about us.
No. And I feel like, yeah, we were kind of in our own little hostessy world because the servers were having to put up with the shitty managers more because we could kind of escape and go to the retail and play with oh my God, you want to hear the grossest thing I did at Cracker Barrel? That I like literally can't believe I did this, but I was desperate. So I, for the life of me, could never remember to bring chapstick ever. In the winter, my lips were really, really chapped, and I cannot believe I fucking did this. I mean, like, I wasn't harming other people, but I was probably, like, putting tons of germs on myself, but we had the lotions.
Oh, my God.
The free samples, or, like, you know, you could test it, and I would put lotion from a tester on my finger and rub it on my lips because I
was that. Lotion? Mm-hmm. Why lotion on your mouth?
Because I needed anything. And I figured, it moisturizes your skin, so it must moisturize your lips, right? Like, that's how I thought.
Fucking logic, duh.
And I was rubbing tester lotion on my lips. Do you know how many now I'm like, oh my God, those were right next to the bathrooms. How many people just don't even fucking wash their hands in general? And fucking tested that shit. And then I'm over here just like rubbing it on my lips. Ew. Disgusting. Oh, and then there was that time I almost got snowed in there. You weren't there for that. There was a snowstorm. You were still working there because you got the job at Outback. We kind of both left at the same time.
Yeah.
But you got your job like weeks before I got mine. And I think this was still when we were both working there, but it was a day where it was snowing. I showed up and they decided to close the Cracker Barrel because like it was just nobody was coming in, but they like wouldn't let us go home and we had to flip all the tables upside down and I had to fucking pick gum off the bottom of these tables. That was awful.
So they were just like,
I got stuck there and I had to like get my mom to come pick me up because my car got stuck.
Oh, pee you. What season did we become friends?
I would be very interested to know.
Did I get hired in like during East? No, that was when I got hired at Wendy's when I was like 15. During Easter?
So I remember because like literally we bonded over both of our dads had just passed away. And mine had like literally passed away like 3 months. Like it was still really fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad passed away in June of 2013. So it was probably August or September of 2013.
That would make sense because I feel like we got super close really fast. And then we were also at Blue Ridge. So it just like all made.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in like August, September, we started Blue Ridge at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah, well, so like I hope you guys enjoyed us fucking reminiscing on Cracker Barrel days because of Thanksgiving. We spiral. We really spiral.
I promise we have things to talk about.
Isn't that what podcasts are for, though? I love when people just have genuine conversations, and it just feels like I'm listening in. So
So our listeners don't see us talking, like our faces, like we're on video right now, but they don't see that. I've seen YouTube channels that are podcast YouTube channels, and they upload the podcast on all of their podcast platforms, but then they do record the video, or they're in person and they record that and they upload them talking the same exact podcast on their YouTube channel. But if you like want to see them, see them on the YouTube channel. And I've seen that going around for a couple
of one day y'all will be so lucky to see our fucking faces while we do that.
I know. That means that we're gonna like actually have to like look nice, and I might need like a lot of time to prepare for that.
Yeah, same. And I haven't posted a YouTube video in forever. So
yeah.
One day. Oh, while maybe. while we're talking about the actual podcast as an entity, guys, start sending us ideas for what we should make the podcast art, because we're going to be refreshing it in January, to look like, because I really like the neutral colors that we've got going on. But I'm also, for some reason, kind of drawn to, like, something darker, maybe. And I want both of us in it, because it ain't just me talking to my fucking self anymore.
Should we include our pets? Ooh. Like, should we have, like, I mean, like, we both have kind of a lot of pets, but, like, I don't know. I feel like we talk, there were two pets we talked about, and now we both have two new pets that we have both talked about. So like maybe it should be like us and like a little cat and a little weenie dog that are friends.
Yeah, they should be like at our, oh my god, wait, what if it's like us with like our, we're wearing like witch boots, maybe like some striped socks, like knee socks, and like we're like backs to each other, and maybe one of us is holding like a candle or a pendulum or something, like a swinging thingy.
Oh my god, you're just like sparking all the thoughts. So I actually saw that, I'm showing Brooke something right now, but I saw this on Instagram the other day and I just like absolutely loved it.
Oh my god.
And I thought about the new artwork that like we want to do, and I was like, wouldn't this be super cute with like one of me with a little cat and one of you with a little dog, like something like this.
That is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm gay.
Listeners, you're not gonna know. You'll be surprised in January when you see it.
It's so
but cute. We're gawking over somebody's beautiful art right now.
That's the style though. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love our podcast art, but it does have to change because there's two of us. And I also think that's kind of like industry average, is like every year you're supposed to refresh your logo or refresh something. So
yeah. And we hit milestones this year.
Yeah, we've hit so many milestones. This podcast is everywhere that I didn't realize it was.
So. Right before we started recording, Brooke and I just Googled the Witchful Thinking podcast, and it came up on all these platforms that were like, wait, how did it get on that platform? I mean, that's awesome, but yeah.
And they still credit me as the owner, so it's not like they're stealing anything from me.
Right.
It's like,
it's like free promo.
Yeah, for real. I don't know exactly how it happened, but I mean,
hell, you
might be thinking it'd be like that.
Hell.
But, hell yeah. So anyways. Yeah.
So send us, I guess we're brainstorming right now ideas, but like if you have cute ideas, because I think, okay, so maybe let's give like a vibe so that they can kind of, So I think we definitely like cute and dark, obviously witchy, like cartoony. Like, I don't think neither of us are looking for like a realism style. We kind of like the cartoon style. And I guess that's what I just showed you, is a similar type of style, different colors and a little bit different than like the current drawing. So yeah, something cartoony, like something cute and feminine and dark.
We've got to have your gray stripe in your hair.
Oh, I would love that. I'm so proud of her now, so I'll put her in there.
That'd be so cute. Oh my God, I'm so freaking excited. That's going to be amazing.
That's going to be so awesome. I'm excited for that too.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you.
But just, what a good way to kick off the new year with, the new year's not here, but yeah, with some new podcast art.
Yeah.
Man, wow, shit really
just. Get your serotonin where you can.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to get that tattooed on my forehead. Get your serotonin where you can.
Are you about to transition to what I'm transitioning?
What are you transitioning into?
I was like, speaking of serotonin where you can, we wanted to talk about low effort. Because, is that what you were saying? Okay. Because when you are at a point, if you're saying get your serotonin where you can, you probably don't have a lot of energy to be putting into your craft, because you're obviously trying to get your serotonin where you fucking can. And you need like bare minimum stuff, just like any little thing to make you happy. So we wanted to talk about the low effort. Maybe like you could maybe call it lazy, but it's not lazy. It's just low effort.
Yeah.
Saying hi to me.
She just made a little in the mic. Did you hear her? She went.
Yeah, I heard. So cute. Mia, what is your advice for low effort witchcraft?
Mia, what do you have to
take naps and eat treats?
She's probably like, I have to shit.
Get your serotonin where you can.
Oh, get your serotonin where you can. Wait, never mind. I was going to say something really gross, but I'll just tell you
later. Okay. So Brooke and I both use Pinterest for a lot of the stuff that we find, and Instagram. And I found this like little infographic. It's backward. I'm showing Brooke, but it's backwards for you because I showed it
to you. It still popped up for me.
Okay. And it has, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. It has 8 just like little basic tips. And they're so simple. And I think they're so sweet. And it's just so easy to do that. It can just make you feel connected when you don't have the energy to like get out all your supplies and spend all this time researching and figuring out what moon you're going to do it on or what, you know, sometimes it takes a lot of energy and you just don't have time for that, but like you still want to stay connected. And one of the first things it suggests is just to carry your tools around with you. Like carry your, you know, if you have a little tarot card, especially like there, you can get like tarot card pouches on Etsy and people like custom make them with like fabrics that you want. So you don't have to carry around like a big box. You can just like wrap them up, or you could literally put them in a sock, I guess. But just carrying them around in your purse. I carry my pendulum with me everywhere. Oh, I want to show you it because it's actually, so I went thrifting a long, long time ago. And, prior to COVID, I've had this for years now, and I bought this little box and I had no idea what I was going to do with it. And it looks like a little coffin, which is why I bought it. It's like literally the size of an index finger, like the length of an index finger. And to me, it just looks like a little coffin. And oh damn, no, it's not in my purse. I'll have to find it. I'm here saying I carry it with me everywhere and I can't find it. Story of my life. It's probably on my desk, but I keep my pendulum in there because like, I don't know if anybody else struggles with this, but I fucking hate when my pendulum string gets knotted up. Does that happen to anybody else every single time you put it in your pants pocket? Every single time I put it in my damn pants pocket, it knots up. And that really pisses me off because I am terrible at getting knots undone. So I put it in this little coffin and just carry it around in my purse. And sometimes I do put it in my pocket. And then I do have this that I carry around in my purse too. And it's the little Altoids box trick.
Yeah,
like tiny little like altar and just things that make you happy in there. And I painted mine black because I like it that way. It doesn't stay closed, so I keep it in another pouch so it doesn't just open in my purse. But I like to carry a drawing I did of my familiar Bingley, so I keep this in here, and he's always sitting right on top.
I love.
And I have some matches and a tea light. And I have. I carry around a howlite, the white stone that kind of looks like marble, but it's howlite. Mm-hmm. And I have a white feather that I found in an elevator one time after I was manifesting, trying to talk to my spirit guides. And then I found this feather, so I kept it because I thought that was from them. And I do have a cinnamon stick, a bay leaf. And then I have this tiny little, I actually broke a, words are escaping me, incense stick long enough to fit in here. Cause like most incense sticks don't fit in something this small. So I broke it and I have this tiny little, dropped it. I have this tiny little planchette and I just think it's the cutest thing ever.
Dude, God, that thing fits a lot.
Yeah. And one of my most treasured things is I carry one of my familiar Bingley's whiskers. I carry one of his whiskers in here. And I have some paper that I could like write something on and burn it or some shit if I want to. So yeah, I just carry this around and I literally like never use it, but it makes me happy and it makes me feel a little bit connected. So just like, you know, you could carry your stones around. Like, okay, I have tried carrying crystals around in my bra. Apparently that's a thing people do.
That hurts my
neck. I don't know if I just don't have enough titty. I don't know what it is. I cannot carry a freaking rock in my bra. Okay. It's either not gonna stay. Maybe I move around too much, or it's gonna like literally bulge. Like it's gonna be so noticeable. Maybe yeah. I'm using a rock that's too big. I don't know. But that does not work for me.
No, I always, every time I've done that, I literally have ended up scratching my actual nipple.
Oh God.
Like if it's a raw crystal and it's not like a tumbled stone, like you will fuck your areolas up.
That's just not for me. So I carry some things around that I love. That little Altoids tin. And then I also have my pendulum in my baby coffin. And honestly, I do think when it comes to the pendulum, like that it like works better when I'm like, what, after I've carried it around, I'm like connected to it. Mm-hmm. Mine is also, my pendulum is a smoky quartz, which is my favorite crystal of them all. That is my favorite. What is your favorite crystal? I don't know if I've ever asked you. Is it amethyst? I know you like amethyst.
I tend to feel like I'm drawn to amethyst the most for some reason. And I don't really know why. I wore an amethyst like all through college, and I used to joke and tell people it's why nobody could ever get me drunk, because amethyst like promotes sobriety.
It does, yeah.
I'd be like chugging a bottle of wine standing on a fucking table at a party like, I'm queen of the world! Like, nobody can get me fucked up.
Just carrying around your tools or your stones or just things that make you happy and make you feel connected. And I think that's like the easiest thing is to just carry something on you. Like you don't have to do any effort except put it in your pocket. Mm-hmm. And even that little bit, I think can help a lot. And the second thing, which goes along with, was it your last podcast? The last one or the second to last one about gratitude, your gratitude journal one?
It was the last one.
Yeah, and that, so just being grateful, like the gratitude, you don't even like, if you don't have the energy to write it down, like even just having the thoughts, like think, I am grateful for this. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for this. And being grateful for where you are, even if you're not where you want to be, and enjoying the journey and appreciating it. And I think that's great because up until like talking to you on a weekly basis and like learning more things, like I would have never thought that gratitude could be witchcraft, but like it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so simple. And sometimes, I don't know, sometimes thinking like when you're having just a shitty ass day and just remembering, like, I remember times when I didn't know like where my meal, like where my dinner was going to come from. Cause like, I didn't have the money for dinner. And when you're just having a shit day, like even just thinking like, wow, I'm so grateful that I'm going to have dinner tonight. And I have like a roof over my head, even though like, yeah, my apartment isn't designed the way I want to design or whatever. Like I have an apartment, I have dinner. Like those are things that I haven't always had. Yeah. And being grateful, I think I personally, and I think this is something that probably varies just based on your beliefs, but I believe that the universe, like gives you like, not gifts you, but I think the universe appreciates being appreciated. And I spent a long period of my life being like, the universe hates me, like one bad thing after another. And I kept saying that. And I was literally probably manifesting. I wasn't helping. I mean, like shit happened, but like, I was probably not helping myself by literally telling the universe, you hate me. And the universe is probably like, okay.
Fuck yeah, I do.
Yeah. So I think just letting the universe and, I don't know, your spirit guides and your ancestors and like all these people, all of these spirits, personally, I believe, are like rooting for us and like sending little bits of help down and we don't even notice it. And to thank them, that would make me want to help somebody more too. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's honestly like the same as at work when you do all this work and it goes unnoticed and you don't feel like your boss gives a shit or anything. Yeah. Like it makes you not really feel like going.
Like, I'm going to apply for another job.
Yeah. Right. So the universe is like, you don't even care that you have this apartment. Bitch ass homeless.
Yeah, exactly. So gratitude is, you know, these are all easy. I'm like, this one's easier than this one. They're all low effort. The third one, oh, I love this one. Blessing your morning drink.
I love that one.
Every day.
Yes.
I do this every day. And it's always coffee because I have to have a cup of coffee in the morning. But if you drink tea or whatever your drink is, you can do this with your drink. And like, that is a sacred time for me. Making my morning drink, it's a ritual. I do it every single day at the exact same time. And I have to do it. And I'm like, if I wake up late and I don't have time to do that shit, and I have to like work for the first 30 minutes to an hour without getting coffee. Cause like when work starts and I don't get a break for like an hour.
Yeah.
I'm fucking pissed. Angry.
It's literally not the same. Like you just feel like you've got nothing to sip on. Your mouth tastes kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And blessing your coffee or your tea in the morning. I've never called it blessing my coffee or tea, but same stuff. I like to say, like, I like to think I'm like infusing my coffee with magic because it sounds cooler. But
magic.
but stirring it clockwise to charge it and like infusing it with your intentions for the day. And you could also stir it counterclockwise if you want to like not have something happen and you want to like banish something. Like, I do not want this. I tend to be more, I don't think I've ever done that. I've always clockwise and just like put intentions in for the day. And then I drink it and I literally feel like it's like my secret, especially when I was in the office and I'm working around all these like 9-to-5 corporate America people. And I'm walking down the hall with my magic coffee and I'm like, none of these bitches know that I infused it with magic. It's just like my little secret. And I'm like, I'm so powerful, bitches, and you don't even know. It makes me happy.
Don't even know what I'm capable of.
You don't even know.
You unmagic muggles.
Yeah, so that also just like sparks joy for me. Just like plainly sparks joy in the morning, which is what I need because I'm not a morning person. Not a morning person at all. So I look forward to that. And the next one, I'm taking care of our Mother Earth. And obviously, the earth and staying connected with nature is like very key in witchcraft, and we need to take care of her because she's dying. The earth is not doing well. Although in March, when the whole world shut down, I think it was really great to see. There's literally not any other circumstance except for a pandemic that we could have ever gotten the entire planet to shut down for 2 weeks. Like, not a single circumstance. And we saw in those 2 weeks the effects of humans poisoning the earth reversing in 2 weeks.
Like the dolphins. Where was it at? In the canals? It was like the dolphins.
I think it was England. I think it was the UK.
Yeah, like random fucking dolphins. Mm-hmm.
The pollution in Asia was clearing up in Los Angeles. My aunt who lives in Los Angeles could like see downtown, not through smog. And it like that happened, a lot happened in 2 weeks with the environment. And if it wasn't for the pandemic, there's just like literally no way we would have ever been able to test that, because like there's no way you could have ever put the entire planet on board with that. So I think that was a good lesson. And I don't know. So with this one, like, I am totally for, I'm a lot more conscious now of like single-use plastics and things like that, and me trying to be more eco-friendly. But I've also come to realize as well that like the problem isn't us. The problem is the corporations making all of these things. There was a college class I took recently, and it was just about how corporations have spent so much money on marketing, convincing us that it's our job to do the recycling and save the planet. They are making these products.
They're gaslighting us.
They are gaslighting us. Yes, they are the problem. And they're like, oh, but you need to recycle more. You're not doing this and this and this and this. In reality, even if there are tons of people who recycle, only 10% of recycling actually gets recycled, because it is so much more expensive to recycle plastic than it is to make it. And the rest of it just goes to the landfill. So no matter how hard we try to recycle and do our due diligence and do our part, only 10% of it right now is actually being recycled.
Doesn't it take a shit ton of water to recycle like however many things of plastic?
Yeah, because most plastics, the majority of plastics aren't recyclable. And they will even, plastics will have the recycle logo on them, because there is a certain, and I also learned this in my class, but there's a certain percentage of the products that go into these plastics that, oh, if it has less than this percentage of whatever kind of plastic, you can throw the logo on it. But then it might have this X percentage of this other plastic that can't be recycled. So they can put logos on shit that say I'm recyclable, but it's not recyclable. There's like very small amounts. There's a lot of different types of plastic, and the majority of plastics that are created cannot be recycled.
And that's like the same as the people who put the bunny on makeup when it's not cruelty-free.
Yeah, that's exactly that. Except we're killing our planet. We're not killing our planet. Giant corporations are. And so that's my rant on corporate world polluting our earth. But obviously, I don't know. You do what you can control. But at some point, like, yeah, something's gonna have to change, because we're gonna be living on a planet full of plastic.
Yeah.
So take care of your Mother Earth. and do the best you can for her.
Let's see. The fourth one is, oh, I like this one too. Using showers to cleanse your energy. Ritual baths, ritual showers. I use the shower to do more like a cleansing, because you can kind of meditate in the shower, play some music, let it steamy, have your eucalyptus hanging in the shower. And you kind of like, you know, envision like just all of your anxiety or whatever it is you're holding on to, like washing off. And, but then I also like to use like just baths for like self-care. And I like to like light candles, play some music, get a book, sit in the hot tub for a while, fill it with bubbles and things that smell good, and like take care of myself and pamper myself. So I think you can use that to like cleanse yourself and to maybe like ground yourself and just like do some self-care and pampering, because that's also witchcraft, is self-care. Did she just sneeze?
She's squeezing her bunny.
Oh.
That's so cute.
The next one is sigils.
Yeah, buddy, we already know all about them sigils. Yeah, boy. I don't know where that came from. If you've never done a sigil, I think the Gem Goddess or somebody on YouTube has like a really, really, really good tutorial on how to do them. I think they're really cute. Not cute. Cool. I can't talk. Like I said, no caffeine for like 5 days. I think they're really neat, but I've only done like, I can't lie, like maybe three.
Same. I think it's such a like great thing. And it's so simple. And some of them are really cute. But yeah, I also haven't done that many either. And I think it's just because it's not usually the first thing I think about. Also, like, not that it's like new to me, but it was one of the newer things that I learned. And I was doing other things before sigils. And I don't know if that's why I don't do them very often. Cause like, I'm a doodler, especially at work, or like when I'm listening to conference calls or whatever it is, like I am a doodler. But I think those are really great, like, you know, to draw something and like keep it in your pocket or keep it in your purse or on your desk. And it's like, again, like one of those little secret things, like nobody else knows what it is. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of thing, I just love, like, I love having a little secret apparently that like my coworkers don't know about. Like I get to like, you know, I get to like be myself openly mm-hmm. with certain things, and like nobody has any fucking idea what that is. I really like those, and I mean it can be anything. We've done a podcast, right, where we talked about sigils?
No, I think Rose and I, the other Rose and I, did a podcast on sigils, like,
okay, and maybe I listened to it, because mm-hmm. I remember hearing you trying to describe, because it's kind of a hard thing to just like listen to mm-hmm. and describe. And I think I remember you trying to describe how to do them. I think that's a low effort thing, you know.
Yeah, and it just takes like a pen and a piece of paper, right? And then you can do whatever you want to activate it, like, I don't know, masturbate,
right? Whatever you fucking want to do. Get crazy. Or yeah, drink your morning coffee, or literally anything. Number seven is use music to cleanse and boost your energy and your spells. That is so funny. I just sent you a screenshot earlier today of a song. It's an Ariana Grande song, and not like, I don't have like any beef with Ariana Grande, but I don't love most of her music. It's just not my thing.
Yeah.
There is one song that I fucking love, and it's Seven Rings, because it has like, I really love The Sound of Music.
Oh, and yeah.
It has like that play off of The Sound of Music, and that's why I love that song. It has like bad bitch energy. Oh no, also I do love God as a Woman. I love that song. So okay, those are my two songs that I like from her. And then today I heard this song on Spotify playlist, and it's called Just Like Magic, and it's Ariana Grande. And I was listening to the lyrics, and I'm like, this would be a really great song to manifest to, because the lyrics, and I've like literally listened to it once or twice now, but there's a lyric that's like, I get what I want because I attract it, or something like that. And it was very, oh man, I can't remember the lyrics. I was like, this would be perfect. Like, this would be really great to manifest to.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not an Ariana Grande fan at all, but I'm going to listen to that because I kind of, now I'm interested.
Yeah, the lyrics are just like, I don't know.
Manifested, I finessed it. I kind of like that.
Yeah. And I was like, damn, that is a good, because I'm really into, like, music can literally change my whole mood, and I think using music to help with your manifestations or your spell work, or even just to like dance and get yourself in a better headspace as like self-care, I think that's great. And let's see, Just Like Magic, this is the lyrics, some of them, let's see. Just like magic, middle finger to my thumb, and then I snap it. Just like magic, I attract it. I get everything I want because I attract it. And I don't know, like, I don't actually hate this song. Not a huge Ariana Grande fan myself. I really don't listen to her music, but.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about her music or really her as a person, but you can't hate too much. If something's a bop, then it's a bop.
It's a bop, man.
So you know what song was really hard for me to stop listening to, because I just like, I did not want to support the artist at all anymore after what happened, was fucking Say So by Doja Cat. I stopped listening to it because I'm like, you're not getting any of my money, dude, after all the shit that came out. And then everything that she did though got like brushed under the rug because the protest started. So everyone kind of just forgot about what she did.
Yeah, I also, at that time, I was listening to Doja Cat too, and then I stopped listening to her. Yeah, that sucks. Shouldn't. That freaking sucks, because, like, even if I love a song, like, I have problems when someone's problematic and they don't, like, show effort to fix their problems. It's one thing if like someone had a problematic something or other and they came out and they apologized or they did something to make it better, that's one thing. But like, it ruins the song for me if they brush things under the rug or they try to just like go around things or they don't acknowledge their issues, and then I don't want to listen to the music.
Yeah, and to like, to some extent, I'm pretty good at like, you know, if an actor comes out as being problematic, like they do, I think it was Kevin Spacey, what did he got like a bunch of sexual offender charges or something, and I was like, what sucks is like he's in so many movies that I like, and so I had to like teach myself how to separate the art from the offender.
Yes. Oh, that's a good point, because literally my childhood moderately came crashing down when I realized that J.K. Rowling is racist and transphobic, homophobic, like a list of phobics. And that really fucking upset me, because like people who know me probably think that like Harry Potter is like part of my personality. Like that was my escape as a child. I still love it. And it's something that like I shared a bond with over my mom, and it's very special to me. But then to find out all these things about J.K. Rowling, I'm like, oh my God.
Same with fucking Twilight.
Can I like this anymore? And I was like, yeah, I do have to separate. I am going to separate the art from the creator with this one. Because Harry Potter, like, literally got me through the darkest times of my life. And then, like, the shit that J.K. Rowling is tweeting and to realize, like, oh, yeah, you're right. There really are only straight people in her books. And she requested that there really not be any people of color for the actors. She wanted all white people for the actors. That bothers me a lot. And I didn't realize it as a kid reading it. Because that's my privilege of not being able to read a whole series and not be like, oh, none of these people look like me or have my sexual orientation. You know, that's my privilege. And I read the whole thing and never noticed any of that. But yeah, sometimes. And Harry Potter's like what got me into magic. Like, ugh, fucking J.K. Rowling, fuck you in the ass. But I love Harry Potter.
Yeah, J.K. Rowling is.
Although, like, and then, but then I hear things like she was like the first millionaire to lose her millionaire status because she donated so much money to charities and stuff. But like, I'm sorry, like no amount of money that you donate can cover up your disgusting tendencies. That's just.
Yeah, same with Stephanie Meyer, because it's like, she literally said she didn't want any black people casted as characters in Twilight unless they were the villains. That's why there's one
person of color, and it's the guy that almost hit Bella with a van.
No, there's two. There's the guy too, also. Oh, that was, yes. The one with the dreads. Yep.
What was his name? I can't remember.
And he wasn't even black in the book, so I'm wondering if like the producer had to twist her arm to let that even happen. To be like, you know, you have to have at least two black people.
At least two black people. And we're going to make them both, like, not the characters that people are going to, like, love.
Yep.
What the fuck? Yeah.
There's no gay people in Twilight either, are there?
Nope. Mm-mm. Fucking homophobes.
Yeah. There's that. Yeah.
There's that little tidbit. And then the last one is practice self-care and love yourself, which touched on a little bit with the ritual baths, but it is very important to, and honestly, you know what? That's probably the hardest one out of all of these. That's not always low effort. Loving yourself and taking care of yourself is not necessarily low effort. It can be, but that can be really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
So props to you when you do that, and you deserve it.
Yeah, especially if you just sometimes feel like not washing your ass for a while. You just don't feel like it. It can be really hard to make yourself go wash your booty crack.
That's true. I saw a TikTok. Oh my God. I'm not going to spiral on this topic. But I saw a TikTok where it was like someone reacting to someone else's TikTok, and the reaction was to this guy going, wait, do girls wash their titties when they're in the shower? And the girl replying or like responding was like, do you take showers and not wash parts of your body? Like, do you wash your ass crack?
There's people who don't wash their feet when they get in the shower because they think the water just cleans it. I'm like, there's like lines in your feet. Like, you have to.
Literally, the only way I feel like I can get my feet clean is if I use my foot scrubber, like, where it has, like, a pumice stone on one side, and it has, like, a cheese grater on the other side, and I gotta cheese grate my feet, because my skin's so dry in Denver. I gotta grate that shit off. And I don't wear shoes anymore. Like, I don't wear shoes anymore, so I'm going barefoot, like, everywhere. That's one thing I miss about, like, having a house. And also in Virginia, like, nobody really ever judged me for going barefoot places, because, like, you go barefoot out in the fields. But here, it's weird if you go around places barefoot. And you can't really do that.
Remember that winter you told me you wore flip-flops outside and you got frostbite in your toe?
My pinky toes. And now the right one more than the left one. They were like blue purple for like 2 days. And luckily I didn't have to like get my pinky toes cut off. But yeah, my stupid ass went out in the snow in flip-flops because I used to be a serial flip-flop wearer and I had beef with like all other shoes. I don't know what happened. That was a weird part of my life. And nobody could tell me otherwise. And now the nerve damage I have in my pinky toes is so bad that when my feet even get a little bit cold, my pinky toes go numb. I don't feel them. And that's when I know. So when my toes start going numb, I like got to get up. I got to walk, like, especially if I'm in the office and I would sit down for a long time. When you sit down for a long time, your circulation's not great. Your feet get cold. And my pinky toes start going numb and I gotta like get up and walk around because I like have major nerve damage.
You said I had beef with all other shoes.
I did. They didn't do anything to me. I was just a salty bitch.
I never understood. When you told me that, I was like, wait, you mean that you saw snow on the ground and you said it's flip-flop weather? You just went out there with it.
Well, you know, granted, my mom, so like, she was always hot after two babies. My brother and I fucked up her internal temperature system. Like, having kids just apparently fucks up a woman's body permanently sometimes. And she was literally boiling hot the rest of her life. Like, she had to have the AC on even in the winter. I was freezing as a child because it was always cold in my house. And she, you know, we couldn't afford to turn the heat on and blast it, but she also didn't want to. And so my mom was going outside in the snow in like summer shorts and a tank top because like it felt great to her. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go out flip-flops, like, sunny day. Almost lost my pinky toes. It's okay, I wouldn't be the only one in the family who lost toes over stupid decisions.
God.
Not lying. But let's see. Okay, so those were the tips for low effort witchcraft. And then did we want to talk about Sagittarius season?
Actually, let's save that.
Save it for the next one.
Yeah, let's save that for Sunday or whenever we sit down and record. Maybe like having a topic ahead of time will make us like.
Right.
So yeah, come back next episode to hear us talk about Sagittarius through the houses and astrology, because we're doing houses 1 through 12, mm-hmm. and they should be pretty funny. Honestly, the one thing that I do really want to focus more on the podcast this year is on astrology, because so many people don't understand.
Next time we'll talk about Sagittarius season and the houses, and I agree. I think we should talk more about astrology. I personally want to know more about it. There's a lot to know, and it can be very daunting to start getting into, and it's just like it's always relevant because there's always stars in the sky and there's always things to talk about and they're always moving.
Yes.
Oh, was that Google?
It's smoke.
Oh shit. Scared.
I blew out a candle.
Okay. I'm looking at Brooke and her camera just starts filling with smoke. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I definitely just blew out a candle and it's smoking. It's actually the Sagittarius candle from With Love Candle Co. Make sure go check them out on our Instagram page. For Sagittarius season, go get you a Sagittarius candle. But anyways, yeah, so apparently I have to go and pack and my fiance's being a bung hole about it. So we're just gonna end this episode here.
Foreshadowing, come back for the next one to hear us talk about Sagittarius season. And when you're listening to this, maybe prior to the next podcast, you can figure out, here's a little bit of homework if you want to do it. Figure out what house Sagittarius is in on your birth chart, because we're going to go through houses 1 through 12. And so we're going to talk about yours and you can hear what we have to say about what Sagittarius means for you and your birth chart.
That's very smart. I didn't even think of that. Good job. Go find your house. Just Google it. Google or download an app and figure out what it is so that you can listen and understand the next episode.
All you have to do is just Google birth chart. You're just gonna need your birthday, where the city you were born in. And if you know the time, it would be best if you know the time, but you don't have to know the exact time. But you'll get a more accurate reading if you do.
All right. We love you guys, and we will talk at you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving by the time you were listening. Yeah. It'll be past Thanksgiving.
Stay safe, stay healthy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.